government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth. And when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evidence Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I will be with you for the next hour. It's so nice to have you join us on this July the 8th on the West Coast and on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. It's now July the 9th. And guess what? We haven't had anything too much crazier than what we've seen for the past 11 days. And I'm speaking about the mainstream media's relentless pursuit of this Michael Jackson story. We're not going to really get into anything about Michael Jackson tonight other than to just mention that the dogging has begun. And with that, now they're talking about the drug problems and the plastic surgery and who's going to get the kids. And, like, this stuff is really important. With everything that's going on in the world, unfortunately, it's a reflection of the sad state that we're in. But we can turn this around. We definitely can turn this around. Every once in a while, I get some emails from people asking me who the music is at the beginning of the show, and is it a group or is it some taken from some CD that I have, or that I guess people just want to know what the source is. It's actually me playing a bunch of instruments, and there you may recognize the announcer's voice in it too. That's called post-production in your own studio. And one gentleman asked me why the music is so uplifting, and I said, well, we got to have a balance between what we talk about on this show and the music. And I like uplifting music, and it sort of gets your attention, puts you in a vibe a little bit different from every other show that you listen to. And I'm not singling anybody out, just saying, It's original creativity. And I'll be doing some music shows in the future where I play some of my music and some music from some other folks. Haven't done that in quite a while due to all the insanity going on in the world. And maybe we should round things out a bit and play some music. It'd make us feel good and snap us out of this these doldrums that we're in because we look at what's happening in the world and just can't even conceive that this is possible. Yet it is happening. As we spoke about with last night's guest, Don Harkins from the Idaho Observer, he very accurately pointed out that this is all a big fiction or an illusion. And we're sort of all co-creating this illusion. It's not based on the truth. Let's put it this way. If what we're witnessing today is the truth about the universe and about God and all the good things that there are, then we're in bad shape when we get around to the bad things. So let's just consider those things and let's recreate this world. Let's decide what we're going to have this world be, and then let's just get off our duff and do it. That said, that's my rant for the evening. I am honored to again invite back to Evident Footprints a former U.S. Marine. He has his own radio talk show on Blog Talk Radio and Wind Talkers Radio. It's heard around the world. And we have members of the U.S. military, all branches, tuning in to the show. And I'm honored for that, as well as honored to have tonight's guest on the show. I was lucky enough to be invited on his show this afternoon. And it just so happened that he was already scheduled to be on my show. So I welcome back to Evident Footprints my very dear friend, brought about by a mutual friend we have, Marianne Ponder, Mr. Drew Malone Raines III. Drew, welcome to Evident Footprints.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are around the world. This is Talk Radio, and it's coming live for the third time today. I have been on Talk Radio on one venue or another. Hello, Don.
Yeah, you're a busy man. For me, it's kind of the same thing. In the last 24 hours, I've been on three shows, including yours.
I'm not even talking about 24s. I'm talking about, in the last 12.
Okay. Well, you've been at least as busy as me, if not more.
And I know you've been on three because, really, you've actually been on four if you go all the way back to your time with Jeff Rentz last night. Was it last night?
Yeah, I was on Jeff's show last night.
So
yeah.
On Jeff's show, then you did your show, then you turn around and did my show, and now you're doing your show.
Yeah, well, that's the work we're doing, and I guess it's better than sitting around twiddling our thumbs.
Let me ask you a question, Don. You got a good bank account. You're a talk radio. You're supposed to be making money.
Oh yeah, we're all just rolling in dough.
Yeah, I hear this day in day out. No. Well, Rush Limbaugh makes $4 million. You ought to make at least 2%. Well, I wish somebody would donate just 2%. They pay the bill.
Yeah. Well, they're actually Rush Limbaugh for 10 years had a $250 million contract. He was making $25 million a year. He got caught with OxyContin, big stashes of OxyContin. He had a major addiction, and now I don't know if he's recuperated from that. I know he had a cochlear implant because he lost his hearing, and I even suspect that the drugs caused that. And as his reward, he got a 10-year, $400 million contract. So he's making $40 million a year. Maybe we're not doing something right here.
Well, obviously, it must be with the OxyContin and those little trips to Haiti to visit with the underage clientele of the houses of ill repute. Because back in the days when Mr. Rush was doing a local radio show in Kansas, he was making roughly, $700 a month. And going hungry.
Mm-hmm. Well, he
a man can't be all bad. He's working on his number six wife, so
at least he's got six fans, is what you're saying, right?
Yeah. Uh-huh. Well, he's got six fans.
he's got millions of fans, and I guess he's toting the party line for a few people, and I guess there's big money in that. I prefer to share the truth with our listening audience and do the work I'm doing.
And you know, it's a shame that a man has the venue, the opportunity to put such a massive alertness in such a large audience, and he does wake up people that are really so sound asleep it's pathetic. But by one click of the mic, he could turn this nation into understanding what the Constitution really means and understanding what has happened to us in one day with all the commercial breaks that he does.
Mm-hmm.
He could educate several million people that's listening to talk radio.
Yeah, Drew, I want to make sure you stay close to your mic so we don't lose your sound. You don't have to yell; just stay close to your mic.
Did I walk away?
I think you might have looked in the other direction.
Oh, that might. Yes, I did do that.
Okay. All right. Just try to keep a handle on that, and I won't have to remind you anymore. Well,
I have a habit of monitoring the three chat rooms that I'm in right now.
Oh, wow. Okay, so you're a busy guy. Drew, share with the listening audience where some of the people are that are tuned into the show tonight.
Well, tonight is really not tonight. It's tonight to us.
Well, to us.
To most of the people around the world, and this is a big problem America has. Everybody thinks that the world rotates around what goes on in the United States. They don't understand that there's other parts of this planet that are wide-eyed and bright-eyed and bushy-tailed when the United States is asleep. Like right now, it's 0900 in Sochi, Russia. And a lot of people, oh, that's Russia. Well, wait a minute. Sochi, Russia's got a population of almost 1 million people. Kazan, Russia's got 1.4 million. We've got listeners in both of those communities, and the university at Kazan has almost 190,000 kids, or men and women, that go to that school. So, you know, people don't understand that the rest of the world is up and running when 90% of America is sleeping. The only place in this whole nation that is robust, if you want to put it, is those people in Hawaii, because it's just a few minutes after 7 p.m. But the rest of the United States, from New York all the way to California, it's after 10 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
Are on the West Coast, it's after 1. I mean, the East Coast, it's after 1. And here in the Central Time Zone, it's after midnight.
Yeah. Well, and I know
so we
this.
We have very few listeners that are awake in North America or
yeah.
South America, but the majority of our listeners are located in Southeast Asia or in Europe. Southeast Asia, it's 5 p.m. tomorrow, or the night of July. It's going on 13 minutes after 5.
Mm-hmm.
And in Tokyo, it's 2 minutes. It's 2 minutes, 13 minutes after 2. So we've got listeners. And when I say good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you are, I literally mean that, because we've got Marines and military listening in every climb and every place around the world. And a lot of these guys are on duty in the northern and the southern hemisphere in our hemisphere. Are at embassies, and it's they're on the night shift, let's say, so to speak, where there's nobody else in the embassy but them and maybe the char force. The char force is the local establishment that comes in and cleans up the building. They run the vacuum cleaners and throw out the trash. So these Marines are listening to the show in three places. They're listening to the show on broadcast. From other Marines that live close by, and in at least six other locations, they're listening to this show on the Skype phone bridge that I have set up through my favorite girl there in Russia, Larissa. But I just got IM from her, and being told that it's not Larissa, it's Matthew. So it's Larissa's husband is doing the broadcast on the Skype bridge.
Okay.
But we have listeners, and they're awake, and they're bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, so, and they come to listen, not to me, they come to listen to you and to know more about what's going on with the truth, with Obama, with McCain, with Palin. They're interested in knowing, you know, finding out what's going on out there. And obviously, Don, you opened up a can of worms on Jeff Rich's show yesterday evening, or today, depending on where you are in the world. And a lot of these guys, they want to know. You know, you're writing an article, a book, or whatever, on Stage 7, and they're asking questions. When is it going to be ready? What's it all about?
Well, I think maybe you and I will reverse roles tonight, and you interview me.
You want me to play Jeff Rentz, okay? Well, I'll start off with what Jeff Rentz did last night, with one of the things that he said. Well, Don, do you think that Obama was planned before he was born?
Well, he asked me if I thought he was prepared for this role he's playing. And I said, of course, absolutely. And he said, what age do you think that started? And I said, actually, before he was born.
And he should have stood up in agreement.
Yeah, yeah, he agreed. I mean, anybody that's paying attention to this like we are certainly has a feel for this. And there are people out there that are awake. Now, you just mentioned all these folks in the military around the world, and they know folks. You know, they have families back in the States. And you know, I urge you folks to talk to your families and tell and your friends, tell them what's going on. We're putting out the truth as best we can. And I can tell you, you know, that a coup has been staged against this country. And by doing so, a coup has been staged against the world. They're looking for the United States to fall as the signal, and you can call this fireworks, or you can call it a smoke signal, or a flare, whatever, however you want to refer to it. It's that final signal that they have won in their quest to enslave the whole of humanity. And if you doubt that, then I urge you to do your own research. I'm trying to do what I can do my part to reveal these things, and I have kind of a knack for doing that. And God's given me that gift to be able to do that. So I'm using it for all of our benefit. And, you know, I don't have an axe to grind with any particular politician. I like to say I'm apolitical, meaning that I don't lean one way or the other to either of the two political parties in this country. I see them as two sides of the same coin. We were promised change, and the change we have right now is down the drain. It's down the tubes. And if there's money involved, as I often say, Drew, it's just chump change. We're witnessing the biggest crimes in the history of the world being committed right now, and nobody seems to want to wake up and pay attention to what's going on.
They're more interested in their six-pack and their hot dog, which I affectionately call their seven-course dinner.
Well, last night you mentioned, I got a kick. Was it today or yesterday on your show, you mentioned the nine-course dinner. And what?
Yeah, the nine-course dinner is for those that affluent out there that think they've got, that they're rich, upper middle class, and that's the two bottles of champagne in the seven-course dinner, i.e. the hot dog and the six-pack, but it's a nine-course dinner in their venue.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's how I'm perceiving a lot of people, and I'm not trying to sound judgmental. It's just an observation. You talk to people and tell them what's going on in the world, and they look at you like you're crazy, and they get that glazed over look, kind of like Michael Jackson in Thriller. You know, they get this glassy eyed look, and you can tell that the fluorides are kicking in, the ones that they get from the drinking water and the toothpaste, and the chemtrails are kicking in, and the drugs that they're on are kicking in.
Well, no, it's the stupid pill factory working overtime, and they're taking double doses.
yeah, but, you know, I guess we can't assume that there are people that are going to wake up, okay? Not everybody's going to wake up.
No, and that's and we can look at our own history in the 1770s. We're not talking after the Declaration of Independence was written. We're talking about the 5 years or the 10-15 years prior to. We've gone through the 15 years prior to 1775 in the last 15 years since. Waco went up burning.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't realize that Waco was burned just a short 16 years ago, just past April. So in these last 16 years, we're overdue for a revolution in this nation. And it's there's probably just a little over 2% of this nation that is awake over the age of 18 that feels that something has got to give and something is going to be done. being responsible for our actions in our families is paramount, but it's like the government is taking it away from us. And all of these welfare checks are basically payoffs. You sit there and you mind your seven-course dinner, and we'll make sure that you get your seven-course dinner fed in, but you got to pay for your cable, and while you're watching that idiot box, we'll make sure that your water bill and your electric are paid.
Yeah. You know,
so we've gotten away from the foundations of liberty and governance of our nation.
And
we become empire builders of the world, okay? And we've got to cease to be the world cop, and we've got to cease to be the nation putting limitations of liberty on the rest of the world. And we've got to wake up America, wake up our fellow military, and say, wait a minute, you're not doing any good at those 158 military bases around the world playing a world policeman. We've got to get back and start protecting our borders, protecting our nation, and bringing in a form of government that even though we have the foundations, we're not stepping up and enforcing the contract that the employee is being hired to do. And the contract is the Constitution with limitation of power.
Mm-hmm.
Or the people that are hired to work in our government offices. We've got a mayor in Shreveport, Louisiana, to all my Marine buddies from Louisiana. We've got a mayor in Shreveport, Louisiana, that is taking the guns away from all the citizens who have a sticker on their car that says, I have a Second Amendment right to own a rifle, or it doesn't say that. It says, I have a Second Amendment right to own a gun, or I have a Second Amendment right. And anybody that's got a sticker on their car that says, I've got Second Amendment rights, they're being pulled over. And even though their guns are in locked cases in the trunk of the car, their guns are being taken away from them.
Well, they did something like that during Hurricane Katrina, too, didn't they?
They're doing it down in Louisiana because the people in Louisiana are not going to take it anymore. They're fed up with all of this, and the government is really scared that the people are about to come forth. And all this is uniting those that have guns. So they're going out and they're taking the stickers off their car, and they're going to the gun store and buying more ammunition. Gun sales have increased 40% again in the outlying areas around Shreveport just in the last 3 days.
Hmm. Well, you know, while you were talking, I'm thinking, and you mentioned the boob tube, and I know that when I was in Europe that, you know, you can get American Armed Forces radio, you get Armed Forces TV, and they were, back then, they were showing reruns of Mayberry RFD, you know, the Andy Griffith Show, the Three Stooges, that kind of stuff. Maybe they figured that was the quality of programming that the military wanted to see. I don't know, other than if someone is around satellite, if they're actually able to see what we are seeing on the television sets here. Now, you and I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but what they need to know is while they're over there under the auspice of and wherever they are, I'm saying over there means wherever you happen to be around the world, outside of the United States, you're there being told that you're defending your country and you're a guarantee or a watchdog for democracy and freedom in these countries. And while you're being told that, they're over here nonstop 24 hours a day for the past 2 weeks showing the death and the funeral of Michael Jackson. And that hasn't stopped. As if you heard the top of the show, I mentioned now they're into dropping lugs on the guy. And I'm not saying he doesn't deserve it. It's just a sickness of idol worship and a sickness of Satanist evil that these people are feeding into the minds of children and adults alike. And
so,
it's
you know, I gotta bring this in that here and the military are actually fed up with it. Now, I'm not saying that all of the military is not fed up with it. I'm talking about the majority of the Caucasian race, to say, for lack of a better term, the Caucasian race is fed up with it in mass. And when you, when I am walking around and visiting with some of these older people that I know that are in nursing homes or in this apartment complex that's subsidized by the government, I go in and they're watching PBS. They're watching DVD movies they're listening to the radio because normally they would be watching something on the television. They're fed up with the news of Michael Jackson, and they're voicing their opinion. And it's like the commentaries on radio and television are forcing Michael Jackson down the people's throat, but the majority of the people are fed up with it, walking away, and all this is doing is antagonizing a racial animosity.
Mm-hmm.
Because when I visit with black friends, they've got their radio tuned in to some station giving harmonization to Michael Jackson. They've got the television harmonization of Michael Jackson, and their children are glued to this, being mesmerized. And everywhere I turn, it's like they're looking at Barack Obama, and then I get every once in a while I'll run into somebody like this black lady over here who is a retired professor from a college here in Little Rock, having to live in a subsidized apartment because she doesn't have enough money coming in, and she's fed up with Barack Obama. She feels that Barack Obama is not her president, and it's encouraging to see that there are educated black people out here that know what the truth is, and they're trying to educate their fellow Negro race, both in the military, in the retirement community, in the middle class, and in the poor and subsidized classes, and they're butting their heads up against the wall. And people want to know, well, why did their large contingency of black soldiers in the Civil War fight for the Confederacy? Well, those black soldiers in the Confederacy that fought alongside the Caucasian soldiers from around the world, they fought because they thought and they believed that the Yankees, i.e. the Northern aggressors, were just that, Northern aggressors hell-bent on mandating a society that was against their society. And people don't think about the fact that one of the largest statues in the United States for a black man is erected in New Orleans in 1854.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, during the Civil War, the British Crown made out like bandits. And the British Crown isn't necessarily the king or the queen. We're talking about what it represents in this secret contract between the corporate United States and their foreign partners in the banking community.
If truth be known, if it hadn't been for Tsar Nicholas in 1861 in a European state address, he commented to both France, Spain, and the United Kingdom that if they sent their military toward the United States, he would be at war with them. And at one time, Tsar Nicholas sent the Russian Navy to the outskirts of the northern shores, offshore, to basically patrol the seas of North America to keep the British and the Spanish out. And if he hadn't, the Spanish-American War of 1898 would have probably erupted in some form of Spanish invasion of Florida in 1862.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know what's interesting, Drew, is I was thinking about this during the second hour of your show today. I wasn't on that during that. You had a great guest, and you were getting into some really good material. And the thought entered my mind that in every generation, we have another war. You know, every 18 to 20 years or so, maybe even 25 years, there's a major war. You had World War One began when? In 1914, you had another war, that, although we didn't go into it right away, we were hoodwinked into it, and the president of this country was responsible for setting up, the cards, so to speak, to fall in a way that, you know, we had a false flag event, and that was Pearl Harbor.
Hold it! You skipped. We were hoodwinked into going into World War One.
Oh yes. I brought that up, but I'm just talking about the false flag event, because then right just within 5 years at the conclusion of World War Two, they go into Korea. Then they go into Vietnam, and there were all these other skirmishes going on in the Middle East. And then,
well, wait a minute. And you're right, but you left out the fact that we were in Nicaragua in 1926. Okay, we had Marines fighting in South America in three or four Banana Republic wars, off and on, and a lot of Americans don't realize the United States Marine Corps, when Pearl Harbor was bombed, there was only 3,200 men, officers, and enlisted men in the Marine Corps, and no women at all. Now, today, the Marine Corps has a contingency of over 400,000, and we've got 25,000 women Marines.
Yeah, well, what the point I'm making is they've turned war into a business.
It's been a business ever since World War One. Major General Butler wrote his treaties on war as a racket, and within that treaty, he talks about the fact that the U.S. government was buying wagons and horses and mules that were obsolete in 1928, preparing for World War II.
Yeah, he talked about everything they spent the money on. The shoes, all the shoes that never even got delivered, you know. But somebody got paid that money, you see. The taxpayers paid that money. And they
that the United States government bought $2 million. Now, I don't know what $2 million of 1938 money is today, but they bought $2 million worth of wagons, to move troops in World War II in 1938, preparing for World War II, and they were never delivered because they were obsolete, but when they were purchased.
Yeah. And
that was through the United States Senate and the United States Congress. That's how stupid our government has gotten.
Yeah.
It's not worse since then.
In today's dollars, it's probably over $100 million, just to give you an idea. I mean,
I'm sure. We've got these naysayers in Washington. For the first time, we have the Congress united with Ron Paul to investigate the Federal Reserve, and the best government that money could buy in the United States Senate repealed that today, and it's reflecting all across America in droves. The people that are interested in the truth, those that are listening to this show, both in and out of the military, are looking and saying, what happened to the United States Senate? Why doesn't the United States Senate want the Federal Reserve investigated?
Well, you know, what's interesting is when that was suggested, Ben Bernanke, the chairman of the Federal Reserve, said, if there's an audit of the Federal Reserve, it will destroy the world's economy. Now, let's stop and talk about that just for a second, if we can. And I'd like to say something about that, because what they're afraid of is that they're going to have to show how they got this roughly 500 to 667 or more trillion dollars of play money in the derivatives and hedge fund accounts. And what's interesting is they all get exposed to severe IRS penalties as well as audits because of their shenanigans. In other words, they will be in deep doo-doo once somebody starts looking at all this. Now, this is all off the records. This is double and triple books, if they're even keeping books at all. Let's put it that way. We're talking about stuff that's just on computer hard drives. The last count I heard, they were using 88 different software programs to launder money worldwide. This money is being stolen from every aspect of public funding for all kinds of projects, infrastructure, education. You ever wonder what they do with the lottery money they collect in all these states?
Every one of the lotteries out there consistently say it's for education of the kids. Right here in Arkansas, for the first time in the history of Arkansas, they're going to bring forth a lottery, which is supposedly for the kids, but the guy that's going to run the lottery for Arkansas that the government of the state has hired in, they're paying him a $300,000 salary. He's bringing in two of his cronies from South Carolina and paying each one of them $200,000. And he's paying a private secretary he's also bringing from South Carolina $100,000 a year. Now, a secretary in the state of Arkansas, a good secretary in the state of Arkansas, might make $45,000 a year. An associate for a good company in this state, outside of Walmart or one of the big three trucking companies, a good secondhand man might make $60,000 to $70,000. But these guys are coming in here for the lotto, and there's not even the first ticket sold, and they're already having a salary that is equating to $300,000 or $200,000. And there's other job posts, and before the first lotto ticket is being sold, the payroll is over $1 million a year.
Yeah, well, they so know
where's
that...
Where's the money going to go? And what's happening? I mean, where's all this money really going to be going once they start selling these lotto tickets?
Well, this is what I'm asking. We've got plenty of states around the country that have lotteries, and they're collecting billions every year, but they're crying the blues that they got to raise taxes, and they got to do this, and they got to do that. It's being skimmed off by the same criminals that are corrupting the stock markets, corrupting the treasury. The Federal Reserve has no business being in this country, and I'm underscoring that. You know, I'm tired of the crap that we have to hear out of these people's mouths. They'll be hung or put in prison for the rest of their life. The magnitude of their crimes. Let's talk about this just for a second, Drew, if we can. Madoff pled guilty, okay? They told him to plead guilty is why he did, okay? Because the sooner they get his rear end in jail, the sooner they can go about business as usual. It gives the illusion that the bad guy got caught and he's in jail for 150 years, okay? He hoodwinked people out of $50 billion. That's what we're being told. Now, can you imagine $500 trillion? How many years in jail is that for whoever gets caught? For George H.W. Bush, for Bill Clinton, for Hillary Clinton, for Dick Cheney, for Donald Rumsfeld? All of these clowns. How many years is that? How many millennia is that? How many thousands of years should they be in jail for what they've done? And nothing's being done about it. You know, people should be outraged. Our military should be outraged to know that they're putting their lives on the line for criminals that are doing this to this country. That's the truth of what's going on.
And believe it or not, there are a few officers that have had enough. They're putting their feet down. They're saying, no, sir. They're standing up and saying, no, not no, but hell no, no, sir. This needs to stop. They're asking for an accountability behind the scenes. There are now officers and senior enlisted people asking questions about not only the safety, but the legality of all of the vaccinations that are going on to their military troops. There are officers asking what will happen to my men if a major catastrophe happens in the United States, because right now, Don, we've got more of our military outside the United States, and it hasn't been that way since World War II.
Yeah. Now you and I have talked about this, and I sort of proposed a metaphor for this. You know, I asked you the question, if you were going to guard your house, okay, and protect your house from criminals, you had a wife and you had kids, and you wanted to make sure nobody was going to break into your house and rape your daughters and steal your furniture and get into your bank accounts, you know, hold a gun to your head, take you to the ATM and withdraw all your money out of your account, all those things. Would you get in your car and drive to the next city and park alongside the road? Are you going to be able to defend your family and your home that way? And, of course, the answer is no, right? You're going to stay right there in your home, okay? So how can they tell our soldiers out there, our military, that they're protecting the country and they're out of the country? What are they protecting the country from? While all of this criminality, see, because if they were in the country, they'd be doing something about it, you see? You know, and they don't know this is going on. This is why I'm sharing this with the listening audience. This, you're talking about the same thing. We're singing the same song, taking turns on each verse. I mean, this is what's going on. The country doesn't fall apart financially unless it's being robbed blind. And this is the heist of the history of the world going on right now. And you got a clown from Indonesia sitting in the White House right now, and probably we don't have a listening audience in Hawaii because they're all out on the street looking for his birth certificate.
Well, I even got a report from a Marine over in a private article, private email, advising me that even the hospital is disputing the fact now in Hawaii, but nobody's reporting it in the news media.
I got that on my website. I've got that article. Hospital won't back Obama birth claim. And of course, you and I talked on your show today about the phony military documents of his so-called grandfather, Stanley Dunham. We're debunking every aspect of this guy's fictional history as it was created. It's a worse plot than The Wizard of Oz.
It's getting to the point where, you know, I get IMs and emails asking me, well, you know, what can I do for my family? And I tell them, I say, well, there's several books out there that you need to make sure your family have. Crisis Preparedness Handbook that was given to me by Mary Jo Mondello and Paul Mondello, my herbalist, is a fantastic little mini book, and it's not expensive. It gives you all the basics of preparedness. And those people that are so dumbed down, sipping on their champagne and their caviar, and with their 9-course dinner, need to stand back and understand that there are books out there that are letting you know what's about to happen. The coming collapse Surviving the Coming Collapse is a book out there on the marketplace. I think it's actually called Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse. And it's a fictional book written in the 1990s that is playing out right before our eyes, and we're in the very beginning of the chapter of the book in the last days of when this nation erupts into some form of civil conflict. And is a major civil conflict were to happen, what's one of the first things that's gonna be taken out? You know, the electric grid or the communication grid?
Yeah, they'll take down the internet. They'll probably shut down the power. Their greed is kind of great, though. You know,
one of the things that a strategist, former United States Marine strategist in intelligence, sat down and had a conversation with me. Stated, well, they won't cut. There's no need to shut down the internet. They'll just shut down the power, and the only people that will have internet service will be those people that have some form of backup power, and the internet service will go that they stay connected through a telephone line. And then after a few days, that too will go down. Because there's not enough Americans that have a power, extra power, to go into their homes to feed that little milliamp, nanoamp rather, to the power grid to keep the phone lines up. And after a couple of days, those lines will go down, and there'll be nothing out there except those people that have battery operated radios that they can recharge from generators. And who's going to be that? That's going to be the military.
Now, what you're describing, Drew, raises a very important question. What the hell's going on? I mean, if our government is this international policeman that's spreading democracy and freedom around the world, that doesn't, what you're describing doesn't sound like freedom to me, and it certainly, it's not.
Wait a minute, it's freedom with a license, because it's going to be, people are going to get a license to be herded off into some underground base while the vast masses are left to fend for themselves. And that's why this book, Patriots, Surviving the Coming Collapse, is so apropos. It describes the war on the surface, but he doesn't implement the underground bases that are secretly being built in the United States, in the underground caverns and the underground tunnels that go from, let's say, Area 51 to Denver, Colorado, for instance. We've got this vast airport that's been built in Denver, Colorado, at massive amount of expense, sitting on several thousand acres of land, and an underground facility was built right there in front of everybody's eyes, and with living quarters. And there's only two or three entrances to this location, and there's very few people that know about it. And the ones that do know about it, i.e. the electricians, they were electricians that were specifically hired from around the country that were masons. We'll get a fellow mason to get in, even though he doesn't know the whole truth. And we'll let him work on it, even though he's from Louisiana or he's from Mississippi. He doesn't care what's going on up here. He could care less. And we'll offer him, those that are local, we'll offer them a place in the underground facility if they keep their mouth shut.
Yeah, I mean, the point I'm bringing this, or the question I'm asking is, does this sound like the kind of change that was promised by the usurper that's in the White House right now, or his predecessors? You know, this is not what a government does working for its people, who are the masters, okay?
Well, we take a good hard look at what happened at the end of World War One. The German government, the Weimar government, printed paper in mass to overcome their warmongers and to buy themselves out. It got to the point where the German people would go to work, and on Friday when they got their paycheck or got their money paid to them in the Weimar Republic German mark, the husband would walk over to the window because he was prevented from leaving the building to get his Weimar money to the wife. But they would walk over to the window and wrap their money up in a sock. And when they saw their wife standing outside in the snow, they would throw the money out to the wife. She would in turn take the money and go buy what she could before the value of the money would go down. And at some point, the German women were burning the money in the furnaces to keep warm because it was cheaper to burn the money than to go buy wood.
Yeah, well, I think you get the gist of my question, or my point, is that...
Well, the change, that's what I'm saying. You see the change?
Yeah.
The Weimar Republic said we will have change. What happened in 1919, 1920, 1921, the total collapse of Germany's financial system, and it's happening again. History is repeating itself. It's just a little shy of time. It's been 89 years, and we're about to see the Weimar Republic happen in America because we're printing all this toilet paper, and as a personal friend of mine in Colorado Al, he says there's not enough trees in Arkansas to manufacture all the paper that they're printing up, and it's not worth anything. It's not worth squat, and we're being lied to in this. Only reason the American dollar is where it is because it has got the good faith of its ancestry, and the American people are trading on it. But more and more people, like myself, are opting out of the system, and we're bartering. And I will barter this with you. I'll give you this, or help you with this if you'll help me with this over here. I've got three farmers. I would say really gentlemen farmers who got large gardens on their property, and I'm bartering my talent with them on keeping their computers up or working on their cars, and in turn they're providing me with fresh vegetables from their garden.
Yeah, so, these are the types of things that we have to be thinking of, and we have to make a decision. Are we going to keep playing this game? You know, because it's a game is all it is. I'm Smedley Butler said it's a racket, okay? War is a racket, and it's about making money, and it's about consuming the wealth of other countries and exerting power over these other countries, and now they're turning on their own people. I mean, it was set up to be that way. They were very patient, and they took a long time in going about doing it. But, you know, it raises the question, why are we here? You know, why is Drew Raines on this planet right now? Why is Don Nikoloff on this planet? And Ken Adachi and Jeff Rentz and all the other people out there that are bringing the truth to people. What do you see our role is?
It's just like I told Colorado Al one day. I said, Al, we are brothers in spirit. We were brothers in spirit before we were here in flesh. And we chose this time to come to this physical realm to fight evil because we have the guts to stand up and fight. And fight the evil because we know how bad it's going to get. We're here trying to save the souls of the multitude who are being lied to yet again by the evil that spiritual realm, and it's like the Bible says, this is not a war of the physical. This is a war of principalities, and the principalities of Obama, who came from where? We can't. There's no evidence at all that shows that Obama is an American citizen. Period. And yet I'm blinded. I'm just blinded with rage to say, why can't we find out where this man was born, who his mother was, who his father was? And the more we dig into it, we find that his mother isn't his mother, and his father isn't his father. And was he really born in Kenya?
Because
he wasn't born in Hawaii, and we know that for a fact.
Drew, I have to take the blame for all that, you know, but as far as finding that out. But you see, the point is to arrive at the truth, okay? And as close as anybody has gotten to the truth, it's about to come out. It's about to come out. You and I talked about that on your show.
Well, that's true, and that's why, you know, I've got an IM here. When Don's going to finish Chapter 7?
I'm hoping, as I stated on your show and on Jeff Rentz's show, I'm hoping it's finished with the within the next couple, 3 days. It's a tremendous amount of work to assemble all of this, because it's like trying to make a game out of a Parcheesi, checkers, and chess set all in one. And
without the board.
On a Monopoly board.
Yeah, on a Monopoly board, exactly. You know, you mentioned earlier about the change and the deficits. And deficits do matter, Don. We've got this massive deficit. And before 1990, I don't even think I ever heard the term trillion being used on a daily basis. I very seldom heard the word billion being used. And back in when I was in high school, billion was a far-reaching term. There was a comment made by a Marine. Did I hear Don say on his show last night with Jeff Rentz that what it would take to count to a trillion? Well, that question to me comes from my mouth, Don. Well, how much time would it take to count to a trillion, 1 second at a time?
It would take 31,710 years. And we're just talking about 1 trillion, as I told Jeff. Now, can you imagine 500 trillion or 667 trillion? I mean, just multiply.
Well, wait a minute. I'm going to back up one further. You said 36,000 years?
31,700
years. Well, wait a minute. Let's talk about just $100 billion. $100 billion is still 3,000 years.
Over. It's 3,100 70 years.
Yeah, so we're talking just
$710 years.
And yet the government is talking about a $2.7 trillion debt. What is the gross national product of the American people? We're talking about how many years of the American people sweat going to have to get out there and pay to get this out, when I'm looking at every man, woman, and child that is a legal citizen in the United States of America, you owe $25,700 and something for national debt that we did not create. We have nothing on, and we're the guys out here driving the trucks. We're the ones in the foxhole dying in some far-off land for something that we don't have any clue about. It's like Tom Selleck was on Good Morning America earlier last year, and he was really kind of sort of pissed off because the commentators were talking about some ludicrous thing going on, and Tom Selleck basically said, made a statement about the military being in far-off lands, and how many people gave a darn about Lance Corporal such-and-such being killed when we're talking about, you know, this, you're making fun of this. It's, we should be talking about the military that are dying to protect this nation and to protect the freedoms of the world. And yet you're sitting here in your chair. Tom Selleck has not been invited back to Good Morning America since.
Well, you know, I don't mean this as a slight to the military, but the military is protecting the criminals that are stealing all this money, you see?
Right. It's just like, it's not just the military that's protecting the criminals. It's like even in the Patriot community. The Patriot community itself has a lot to say about what's going on, but they're listening and they're promoting these watchdogs, i.e. PayPal, i.e. a seed guy that came from nowhere, and he's on all the Patriot networks that'll accept him, and he's getting, and where's his money come from? There can't be that many people buying that much seed from him if he's selling legitimate seed.
Yeah, well, I don't have that answer, but I get your point that...
That's what I'm just bringing up. I'm not asking for an answer in that case. When I'm looking at somebody selling a bags of seed that for $160, and I pick up the phone and I call a friend that owns a natural herbal garden facility, and she grows her own seeds. I call another friend that grows heirloom seeds, non-hybrid seeds, and dispenses those, and he looks at me and he laughs when he heard the commercial, because he says you can do the same thing with our Victory Seed Pack, and it's only $50.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, there are people out there that are going to capitalize on the fear and the illusions that they create. You see, it keeps coming down to the same thing. We can say, well, this is what's going to happen, and we just have to deal with what's going to happen, or we can stop it from happening, and we can create something else. I mean,
well,
we go to the other
catastrophe that we're looking at. How long will it take for the nation to basically fold in on itself? Once the power goes off, there's no phone system, there's no shipping, there's no receiving, there's no internet. There won't be a UPS. There won't be any mail delivery. Now, there may be some mail delivery if you live close enough to your local post office and you got a P.O. box. You might have some mail for 2 days, but then after 2 days, there won't be anything in the box because it won't be getting there because there's no truck running on the road. Gasoline might be available if you can walk over to some storage facility, storage tank facility to get some, or some refinery that has gasoline done. But most refineries don't have pre-refined gasoline. It's all crude oil. So it's going to take probably 90 days or less. But it's going to take at least 90 days for the real starvation to kick in. And it's going to be just like the potato famine in Ireland in 1847, where there was no food and people starved to death. And you talk about change. Ireland changed drastically from 1847 to 1852, where over 100 million people died because there was no food.
Yeah. Well, while people are worried about their electricity and getting their iPhones and their iPods and their Wi-Fis and their Blackberries recharged, they can't eat any of that stuff, you know, and it'll be a blessing. You know, we fail to recall when people came here to this country, and I'm not talking about the ones that slaughtered the Indians, but just in general, when people came to this country, there wasn't this electric grid. We didn't have this grid until Nikola Tesla built it, designed it, and built it at Niagara Falls, and that was in the 1800s. That man was robbed blind, and many of his inventions were stolen and used for very sinister purposes. They're using these technologies against the people. Now, it'll be a blessing for them to cut the power off in many ways. Now, that may create some hardships for people that have electric heaters or electric stoves. But when the pioneers came here, and when we're not necessarily talking about primitive times here, it's called doing without. In other words, you know, you do what you have to do to stay alive, and maybe turning off all that noise is going to allow us to hear God's voice.
Amen. And what you said, turning off the electricity, if the electricity goes out, yes, there's going to be natural gas in the pipelines for a few days or a week or 2 weeks because of the pressure that's built up in the natural gas lines, but it will come to a dead stop because the gas lines themselves are pressurized through electric motor pumps. That pressurize the gas and put it into the flow of the system. It doesn't come out of the ground naturally and go into the pipeline and stay under pressure without some electricity in the background doing it.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I'm an all-electric house, one of the things I have in my house is a wood-burning stove. And one of the things that I've taken the time to go out and buy is cast iron skillets and cast iron Dutch ovens. One of the things that I've done is learn how to bake my own bread from scratch using just water, no milk, no baking soda, no baking powder. Those are the things that made making bread easy, and they didn't come about until after the 1900s. Prior to the 1900s, most of your breads, people don't understand. They forgot how to make their own yeast or their own sourdough and make bread that would rise from sour milk that they got from their cow.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, what you're describing, Drew, is a dependency on somebody else doing everything for you. You see. People.
Oh, that's what I've been waiting for you to say. It's the dependency of somebody else to do something, and the dependency has been given to a machine instead of to the natural movement of man.
Yes, and this goes all the way up to the role of government. You see, well, the government will take care of me. Well, no, they won't. If they've taken care of you, they brainwashed you. They propagandize you. They've dumbed you down to believe that they're telling you the truth. And it's, you know, doing the research that we do, Drew, is we do to get at the truth, to find the truth. And you have to weed through the fiction that they've created. We say, well, I went to college. I got an education. I know what I'm doing. You've been lied to your whole life. I went to college. I was lied to all the way through school, from kindergarten all the way through college, and still being lied to. Going to college didn't stop them from lying. Going to college didn't stop them from stealing or murdering millions of people on a regular basis all over the world, and they're getting ready to take out 90% of the planet. That's their goal.
People in America, they think it's going to start here, or it's all about them, and they don't realize that the apprehensions of, like, my girlfriend in Sochi, Russia, and Michael and Sosha in Kazan, Russia, friends of mine that I've never met physically, but they live in these areas, and they see what's going on there, and they see a turmoil that's about to come down, and they think that, well, maybe I need to move. Where do I need to move to? Well, I keep telling everybody, there's not a safe place on this planet, but if you had to move somewhere, you want to move to a tropical planet, a tropical area, because in a tropical area, you can grow your food and vegetables all year, and you don't have to worry about severe heat or severe cold and I'm a prime example. I have a central heating air conditioning unit sitting out here on the side of my house, and 3 years ago I walked out there and I turned it off, and it hasn't ran for 3 years. I have climatically controlled my body, and now I've just got ceiling fans and box fans keeping my house quite comfortable, and the temperature here in Little Rock today was over 95 degrees, and I was chilly when I hit the deck this morning. But that's what America has forgotten. They keep saying, well, it's super hot. It's over 90 degrees, or it's 105. Well, when I was a kid being raised in Louisiana, 105, it always hit 105 in July. And it was like radio stations would take people callers to give away some prize if you could guess the day that the temperature went over 100 or 105 or 110. And where did the kids go to cool off? Well, they played in front of water hydrants that were leaking water, or they played in their water hose in their own yard, and if they had an extra dime, they would go to the municipal swimming pool and for 10 cents go into the pool and stay there all day.
Yeah.
Well, we don't have that today.
Yeah. You have people that don't even know how to set up a pup tent, you know, in case there's some disaster that they end up having to, you know, stay out in the woods or out on a campground or maybe just out in their yard. You've got to be able to anticipate things. And what it boils down to, Drew, is people taking responsibility for themselves. I'm not saying that they have to ignore everybody else, stop communicating with people, or stop caring about people. You've got to be able to survive. You are the only one that can survive.
And if you can't find somebody to teach you, then you've got to break down and learn yourself. I taught myself how to bake bread. Okay, if I could teach myself, I'm not no genius. The sheepskin on the wall is not going to teach you how to grow vegetables. The sheepskin on the wall is not going to teach you how to make bread. The sheepskin on the wall is not going to give you the wherefore to iron your clothes with an iron that was heated on a potbelly stove that you put wood in. You know, if you don't know how to do those things, you're up a creek without a paddle, and you're going to go starving and wanting. We've got this cancer of democracy that goes all the way back to the days of Rome. Bread and circuses is the cancer of democracy, the fatal disease for which there is no cure. Democracy often works beautifully in the beginning. That's why this nation was created as a republic, not a democracy. And we've gotten away from the fact that this is a republic nation, not a democracy nation. And once the state extends the franchise to every warm body, be he a producer or a parasite, that day marks the beginning of the end of the state. And just like Lazarus Long in Robert Hinlon's To Sail Beyond the Sunset stated, for when the plebs discover that they have voted themselves bread and circuses without limit, and that the productive members of the body politic cannot stop them, they will do so until the state bleeds to death, or in its weakened condition, the state succumbs to an invader. The barbarians enter Rome.
Yeah. Yeah, history is replete with such examples, and the people never seem to learn. And hopefully, we've gotten a couple of people out there tonight, Drew, to think about what we're talking about here. We don't have all the answers, but I certainly can tell you that if you're depending on somebody else to take care of your own business, it ain't going to get done.
No, Thomas Paine was not a natural-born American citizen, and he knew under the way the Articles of Confederation were written and subsequently the Constitution was laid out with its Bill of Rights, he could not be the president or vice president of the United States, nor could he take on the role of a U.S. senator. But he went ahead and made eloquent speeches. He went over to France and brought forth, assisted in the French setting up their government after the 1789 revolution of massacre that lasted not 1 year but over 8 years with the guillotine. And yet the French turned around and threw him in jail, and Thomas Jefferson refused to pay the tribute to get Thomas Paine, one of our greatest founders, who led this nation with great quotations that we quote today, such as the greatest, and I quote Thomas Paine, "The greatest tyrannies are always perpetuated in the name of the noblest causes." He wrote that just before he was placed in jail and put on board ship and to rot on board ship for almost the entire time that Thomas Jefferson was the president. And it took James Madison foresight and James Madison ambassadors both to France, Spain, and England to come forth with the at the $10,000 revenue at that time to get Thomas Paine out of that prison ship and brought back to civilization in the United States to live out, and he only lived for another year. So you know, the travesties are behind the scenes of who these evil people are. They're not just here today. They've been here for 200 years. They have been invading this country since it was founded. This is the noblest experiment in the history of the world, Don. And one of the things one only has to look at, for 4,000 years we're running up and down the ruts on horses and wagons. In less than 200 years, supposedly we go to the moon.
And beyond.
And beyond.
Even
and
to Mars. Travel.
We communicate.
Yes. Yes. Well, Drew, we're out of time. There's so many things we could...
One last thing. I got a comment. I got a Marine says, don't forget communication. One last thing. 200 years ago, it took 4 months. 4 months to get the word from Washington, D.C. to New Orleans that the War of 1812 was over with. It got the word came from Washington that a peace treaty had arrived and had been signed. It arrived in New Orleans 5 days after the Battle of New Orleans. A lot of people died in the Battle of New Orleans. But what would have happened if the British had taken over New Orleans? Huh? Would we have a change in history? The peace treaty had already been signed, and yet the British probably knew about it far before Andrew Jackson did. So we have communications today, Don, where men in Afghanistan can fight by day and at night pick up the phone and call their sweetheart back in Louisiana and have sweet nothings and feel like they're at home. That's where we've come to. It's all about the 7-course dinner or the 9-course dinner, depending on where you are in your financial lifestyle. If you're in the upper middle class, it's a bottle of champagne, a dash of caviar, a hot dog, and a six-pack. If you're the redneck out there, it's just a hot dog and a six-pack and a 7-course dinner and an idiot box or a movie theater. And the heck with your neighbor. Who cares about your neighbor? I don't even know my neighbor. That's what their attitude is.
Yeah. Well, we're doing what we can to change that. And certainly I encourage all the listeners out there to do their part.
I appreciate you inviting me to your show.
I do. I want to let people know how to get to your website. You can go to read the library of information that Drew's got posted on his website. You go to amd.elequity.com. Again, that's amd.elequity.com. And you can take that route or go over to Blog Talk Radio and listen to his show. And I'm going to give these times as best I can from the top of my head. Beginning, it's a two-hour show, so I'll give you the start time. So on the East Coast, it starts at 5 p.m. Monday through Friday. In the Central Time Zone, it's 4 o'clock. 3 in the Mountain Time, and 2 p.m. to 4 p.m. on the Pacific Coast. And then those of you beyond either to the east or the west, you know how many hours to add or subtract.
So Hawaii, it's 11 a.m., okay? And for those of you in England, it's just 10 p.m. So we want to let you all know that that Greenwich Mean Time around the world is 2,200 hours. That's 2,200 hours Zulu, or 2,200 hours Greenwich Mean Time around the world.
Yeah. Now, Drew, you're going to be on next week. And
they're going to be on my show next week on Monday for 2 hours.
Okay. So I'll make sure that's on my calendar already. Yeah, we'll let our listening audience here know that I will be on a Marines Disquisition. That's the name of Drew's show on Blog Talk Radio. And I already gave out the times and told you how to get to his website. Now, Drew does this work, and he foots the bill. Occasionally he does get some donations or contributions to help him with bandwidth costs and maintaining his website. And I can tell you that he can use the help. He didn't ask me to say this. I'm telling you, my listeners, I've never asked anyone to send me any money, and if they'd all shout out, that's right, you'd hear it all over the planet. no one sent me a penny, and I haven't asked. I'm doing this from my heart. The Lord has provided for me to be able to do this, and I'm going to trust that he's going to keep on doing it. The reality is that we all have to have some sort of financial means to do this work. And those of you out there that would like to help Drew not just stay on the air, not just keep his website up, but actually grow and expand so that more people can hear the truth and the history of this country and his perceptions on what's going on. He's got lots of solutions for those of you with questions. He's on this show for that reason. And, you know, he's like a brother to me, a very special person, brought us together and some other researchers and talk show hosts. She was, murdered. We know she was murdered, because of the things that she wanted to do to help veterans that were coming home from the various wars around the planet. And they didn't want that to happen.
Not just those that were coming home, those were already here.
Or those that were here, too. Yeah, yeah. I mean, we talked about all those that were in dire need of some kind of help. And she was about to start what she had called Brother's House. And her name is Mary Ann Ponder, and Mary Ann's with us tonight. She's with us every time we do a show now. And so, hello, Mary Ann, and thank you. So, those of you that would like to help Drew out, and anything helps, anything that you can spare will help. Go to his website. Again, that's amd.elequity.com. The show is A Marine's Disquisition, heard throughout the world Monday through Friday. Drew, thank you so much for being on the show tonight. And,
it's my honor to be here. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me on your show, and I look forward to being there next Monday and your return visit next Wednesday, the 15th of July.
It'll be next Wednesday midnight, but it'll be Thursday the 16th when we finally go on the air.
Yeah, well, on the West Coast, if they go to the website, it says Monday through Friday, so because it's Pacific time.
And I've got an eye. From Australia says, wait a minute here, guys. Don Nikoloff comes on at 0700 hours our time on Tuesday through Saturday. So make sure you give us a little respect down here, down under.
Okay, we'll do that. actually, we're on the same schedule. Maybe not the same time, but we're on the same date. So we say hello to all our friends around the world, new friends. Want to thank all the folks that are carrying this show around the world. We love having you on board with us, and keep doing it. Keep help us out and tell more people what's going on.
Can I make one little pleading out there?
Sure. Go ahead.
All of those of you that are listening to this show in the Galactical Federation that believe in Jesus Christ as I do, God bless you.
Well, they're listening. As you heard on another show, they're listening throughout this galaxy, which is mind-blowing and very humbling at the same time. So, yes, we do wish our friends in the United Galactic Federation, Galaxy of Hendon, very safekeeping and Godspeed in the work that you're doing. We do have help, folks. If we begin helping ourselves, you'd be amazed at how fast more will arrive. Drew, thanks for being on the show. Got to say goodnight.
Got to get out of this place. God bless.
All right. You have a good night. Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBS Radio, and our special guest, Drew Malone Raines III. Special thanks to Don Newsom and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Join us again tomorrow when my special guest will be Mr. Ken Adachi. Don't want to miss tomorrow's show. And in the meantime, I wish everyone a night filled with peace, love, and light. And I should say a good day as well. And a night filled with love and light. Have a good night.